Yo, what's good, DBRP listeners? It's your boy, Dim One, back with a special episode this week of the Dad Bod Rap Pod. Y'all might remember I started this spinoff podcast with acclaimed indie producer Blockhead, where we talk about sex and relationships and the weird intersections of rap, hip-hop culture with those things. We call it Talk Like Sex. It's something that we do occasionally. We dropped a couple episodes last season. Those were well received. So we're back with another episode this week. This is a dope one because Blockhead was actually here in the Bay Area. We got to chop it up in person and talk about a number of things, including cunnilingus and what it's like to go to a Blockhead show. Not necessarily those two things back to back, but you'll see what I'm talking about in just a minute. Before we get into it, I really want to make a strong pitch for y'all to join our Patreon. That's patreon.com/dadbodrappod. That is the place where you will hear segments like this, which I posted on Patreon a couple months ago, actually. And you get to have my playlist series, Dem's Gems, Nate's radio show, The Fly Sporadic. We have polls, conversations. It's real lively, especially if you're kind of tired of the regular back and forth rap Twitter discourse. I feel like Patreon is a place for you. So once again, hit us up, $5 a month or $51 a year, and you can be down with the team. That's patreon.com/dadbodrappod. Let's get it. Stony Island Audio. What's up, folks? It's your boy, Dim One, here with the man, the myth, the legend himself, Blockhead. What's happening, man?
Chilling in the flesh.
Yeah, we are here at Francisco Studios in San Francisco, California. Blockhead is in town reprising his role as the fourth dad body in here. We did one of these like 3 years ago. My phone was showing me some memories. And it was 3 years ago we recorded a pod in this space.
It was fun. Yeah. In person is way better.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
I exchange glares.
are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
Totally different vibe. And since that time, we landed on this idea of doing a sex relationship podcast called Talk Like Sex. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for folks who have tapped into the first couple episodes where we answer the big questions that, hat-wearing-ass hip-hop dudes have but are afraid to ask. We also have a special guest in the building. We have Steph Roars, who you might know from Dad Bod Rap Pod listeners. It's my girlfriend. And she will be here to provide commentary and give us, like, weird glares if this gets too bro-y.
Yeah.
I think more podcasts need that, just a woman to be like...
Yeah, it helps. It's a big...
No.
No, you need that energy in this room because it could get real.
Yeah. It gets real.
It could get real guyish up in here.
It gets real dude-ish, so we're going to try to keep some balance here. But before we get into the question of the week, Block, you're out here on a mini tour. I saw you played you were at the Independent.
Yeah, I'm just doing two shows, and my sister lives out here, so I decided instead of flying back after San Francisco and then to New York and to Denver, I just kick it here for the week, hang out with my sister, hang out with my niece and nephews who are all like adults.
Yeah, you said that, and I'm like, kids. Damn, son, you're kind of old.
I saw my nephew is like a 17-year-old skater, and he dresses exactly like I do. I tweeted something about this today because I was bugged out by it. He dressed exactly like how I did when I was 16 in 1993 or whatever.
Jesus.
To 92, maybe? Or wait, 93. And except he has like shirts that are like bare midriff.
So you weren't bare midriff with it?
No, I was pretty long shirted back then. but I feel it made me be like, oh, like the newest kids, they like update
yes.
their plans and
yes.
It's interesting. Also, they're all in like shape and shit, so they can show off their stomachs.
There was a time. You had a time. Don't front.
I don't think I ever had that time. But but the idea of having my stomach exposed is like the biggest nightmare of my life.
Yeah, I think from a hip-hop aesthetic, especially, we're about the same age, it was all about coverage. Like, you don't... Yeah. Were you a guy who were like, if I'm wearing shorts, it's gotta hit the knee?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a rule.
Oh, I mean... Huge baggy shorts, huge baggy pants.
Yeah.
Like, my shape was just, you could not tell.
Yeah, exactly. You were an amorphous blob.
I was thinking amorphous was the word I was thinking. I was just like a, I don't know, like something that dusts the floor as it walks across, you know?
You were a sham wow.
Yeah.
Up in the city. Yeah, no, styles have definitely changed. I have a 20-year-old son, so I'm constantly... reminded of like the things that have persevered over time, like him and his friends will say bet.
That's interesting.
And I'm like, oh, okay.
Which feels like an East Coast thing. Bet.
Oh, totally.
Bet is an East Coast thing.
Bet is an East Coast thing. We definitely appropriated that for a time.
Does he ever say like hella bet?
That is a code switching that we don't allow here. back East, is that like your perception? I think when I think of East Coasters and what their perception of the Bay Area is, I think of two things, Hella and E-40, as the only kind of like major touchstones of what makes the Bay Area the Bay Area.
Well,
is that incorrect?
I have a different view because I've been coming here since I was a kid because my sister lives out here. So I've been like, I spent a lot of time here. I went to, you know, I think I might have told you this last time, but I went to basketball camp in Hayward when I was 16.
Okay.
And I was trading tapes with kids out there because they had never heard Stretch Armstrong.
Yes.
And I had they gave me some stuff, but I was like, this sucks. Because I didn't, you know, I got 16. I was like, what is this shit?
Right.
But the Hella thing, I mean, yeah, I think we definitely put you in the Hella.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we're like the mad, you know, it's like
mad,
it's
mad dead ass.
Mad. Dead ass is newer.
It is.
Dead ass is
it
like is. After my time. But
is
like,
it?
Something, it's mad hot out. Or it's mad, like right now, it's mad cold in here.
It is mad cold. Thank you for validating that as a New Yorker.
And it's hella cold as well.
Is mad cold colder than hella cold?
Mad brick is colder than...
Mad brick.
Mad brick. Mad
I've
brick.
Heard brick. Okay.
Yeah. Brick is great. Brick is one of my favorite words.
Is it?
Yeah. Brick and calling someone a herb.
That's... Now you're taking it back.
Oh, yeah.
There's a... somewhere on our Twitter, there's a whole etymology of where herb comes from. And folks were telling me it was a Burger King commercial.
I was going to say that's, I think that's, that. I remember being in high school and people calling each other Herb, and I was like, wait, like the guy in the commercial? Like, do you know Herb?
Yeah.
And Herb was a Herb.
He was. He was. Yeah. So, in summation, it's mad brick out here, but don't be a Herb.
Don't be a Herb. Put a jacket on, you'll be fine.
Put a jacket on. It's hoodie weather for sure.
Which is great, which I love, and it's definitely warmer here than it is in New York, so I can't.
Absolutely. How was the show at the
interview? It was good. Yeah. I mean, San Francisco is always good. Yeah. Independence is a really cool venue. I had like randomly had a like my closest friend is in town.
Oh, okay.
So he happened to be working here, so he came through, and yeah, it was cool. Like, you know, shows, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Do you have specific things that you will play out in different cities? Like, do you have like, hey, I'm gonna be in Frisco.
I'll throw some Too Short in there.
Okay.
I sometimes this show because I haven't done a show in a while. I've done like 7 shows in the last year because I pretty much took the whole year off. So I haven't like recreated an entire new set yet where I kind of like, you know, there's nothing from the Oxen. This is my new set.
I was going to ask you, is there any of the new stuff in there?
Not yet. I gotta wait till I go on tour because it's like the undertaking of me making a new set is incredibly taxing. It's like making a new album. If you haven't seen me live, it's kind of hard to explain, but it's basically like taking all my albums and putting them in a blender and then like me sequencing them live with a lot of mashups. So like I can't, you know, it's just a huge pain in the ass.
Okay.
So I was going with the stuff that I already had kind of set up and that just made it easier. And I'm going to do that again in Denver because I'm not making a whole new set for 2 shows.
No, fair enough.
Yeah.
I'm always curious though, like, you have your feet in kind of 2 worlds, right? Mm-hmm. Like folks who are into electronic music definitely know who you are, and then folks who are into like real underground.
Yeah.
I just said real. I'm sorry. Real underground rap. The real. You kind of have a foot in both spaces. Is there overlap? Like, if I came out last weekend and I was like, play some Billy Woods, like, in the front, would I be alone in that?
This wasn't... If it's my headlining show, absolutely.
Yeah.
But if I'm opening for someone, I was opening for a bigger... This group, Boombox. So it's more their audience than mine. But there is crossover because they're kind of more on the electronic side of things.
Okay.
I signed a couple Billy Woods records at the show.
Okay.
So it happens. But,
yeah,
I mean, for me, it's more like Aesop and early Ninja Tune. Those are the two that really bring the people out, you know. And then occasionally there's fans who are like, oh, you're actually like, you still listen to the new shit.
Yeah.
Which
is
great.
But that's more rare.
When they come out. Yeah. To the shows. Yeah. It online gives you a skewed view of what it really is. But the shows are people like, play your first albums by Aesop and you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
And you're like, because that's what the girls want.
Yeah. Well, everyone wants like the same four songs. But I play like literally 70 of my songs mixed together.
Okay.
So if you're into it, it's an awesome like, you'll hear things in ways you never heard them. But, you know, if you want to hear Insomniac Olympics and Daylight,
yeah,
you'll get that, too.
I appreciate that, man. I feel like sometimes I hate it when an artist gets too cool for their hits. I mean,
yeah.
I know hits is...
Well, it's funny. I've thought about that a lot because people tour and they do the album tours.
Yeah.
Where they play, like,
Woods
does it. He just plays the whole album
Absolutely.
Through, and then he'll sprinkle some older shit in there.
Right.
And when people, and someone like him who has pretty immense catalog, it's hard, I imagine it's hard to pick what to play outside of that, but... Generally, I always play old shit, new shit. I play everything, obscure shit. I play all the shit because I can, because I'm not a rapper.
Yeah. And how long is your set, typically?
Between 75 minutes and an hour, usually, depending.
Okay.
If I'm headlining, it's like 75, 80 minutes.
Okay.
But
okay, so it's not like an issue where you're holding your pee. I'm always worried about DJs holding their pee. Does it?
One time I was in the Ukraine, and I was playing a outdoor event, and I literally... cut my set 20 minutes short because I thought I was going to piss my pants. And it was on a beach, and I was like, can I pee under the boot? But I thought I could pee like behind the stage, but there's like people all around me.
Yeah.
So I was like, I definitely can't pee, and there's wires down there.
Yeah.
So I ran. I was like, thank you, and I just ran and like peed behind a tree and had some like really angry Ukrainian guy be like, what are you doing? But not in English. And I was like, sorry, I had to go. Like, I never had to pee that bad in my life, but
okay.
Generally, I can hold it.
Generally, you can do the 75-minute set.
I'll take a pee beforehand. I'm good. It's good to go.
Important at our age.
It gets harder.
It really does.
Harder, yeah.
Speaking of harder, let's get into our
oh, boy.
I'm sorry. These are the segues that I make. thanks, Bib. All right. So we did get a question. Mm-hmm. And it's a good one. So since we started this with the idea that there was this rabid want for people to submit questions for me and you to ponder. They've been more trickling in.
Yeah.
Than,
well, to be fair, we don't ask often.
We don't. We don't ask often
enough. We made a rescue. I mean, like, if people are listening now, they should, if you have relationship issues, you should definitely ask us. And it will be anonymous.
Yeah, we'll keep it anonymous, absolutely.
Not tell your girlfriend.
Yeah. Probably not.
Yeah.
And like your girlfriend's not gonna listen to this podcast. Let's be real.
100% safe space from your girlfriend.
We put Billy Woods in front for a reason.
Yeah.
All right. So this was a question. You got Blockhead, and I'll read it. And I love that it says Dear Blockhead.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
it was to my email, so it makes sense.
Dear Abby for like hip hop hits. All right. So it goes, Dear Blockhead, I've been seeing a guy for 2 months. We are not yet exclusive, but we see each other 3 times a week. Lots of sleepovers and entire weekends, phone calls when we don't see each other, etc. I really enjoy everything about this connection thus far, and it all feels so romantic. However, during the dozens of times we have had sex, he has never once gone down on me. And I'm afraid to ask him about it, because if I get some weird answer, it will absolutely shatter my love fantasy. Should I just bury my head in the sand and gratefully accept the 99% other wonderful parts, or stop being a coward and ask him what's up? Wow.
It's a great question.
That is a great question.
It is a great question. And there's parts of it, you know, I haven't read that question like a month since we got it. And I'd also like to even talk about other parts of it that are the...
No, we gotta break this apart.
Because, all right.
Many layers.
Not exclusive. All right, let's discuss not exclusive. If you're seeing someone three times a week,
mm-hmm.
sleepovers every time,
yeah,
that's exclusive. it's not technically exclusive,
yeah.
But like, that's kind of your...
You're leaning towards exclusivity if you're doing that?
You're on your way. Like, I'm weird about that stuff because I'm very much like, need my space and my time and everything.
Sure.
And if I'm seeing someone three times a week... That's my girlfriend.
Yeah. So yeah. So you're saying because of the frequency and because of the sleepovers, then it almost begs the assumption of exclusivity from your perspective.
Like they haven't had discussed it yet, and there's a good chance once it's brought up, the guy will be like, whoa,
disappear.
We gave you that idea. That we spent the last 4 weekends together.
Yeah. Yeah.
But from just an outsider perspective, if that's me. And I'm making that conscious decision to see this person three times, especially spending a whole weekend with them.
Yeah.
Sleepovers throughout the week, assuming people have jobs like normal people.
Yeah. So
you're not fucking other people. I know that.
Or you would hope they were.
Because you don't have time.
On what days? Yeah. I mean, as an adult.
I mean, you got to be really crafty to fuck other people when you're that busy. When you're, well. Well, yeah, no, that's true. I mean, you can, but like at some point, like if we're being honest, if you're having sex like three different days a week. I don't even mean three times. I mean, you're like, you see this person, maybe you have sex however many times when you see them.
Right.
Like, you're kind of good.
You should be.
You're kind of, I don't know.
One would think.
I mean, some guys aren't built like that, then they need more and more and more.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I've definitely been in situations where I've been single, and then I'll sleep with someone, and then I'll just get lazy about being single. I'll be like, I'm good. I don't need to fucking.
Done it. Check that box.
Like I live for the rest of the week. I'm just like, I'm good. I don't care. I don't need to go on a date this week, you know? Like,
like, I did it. I did
but,
it.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Is that more your back problems, or is that...
No, my back problems are okay.
Good.
No, they're not, but they don't interfere with that.
Good. Yeah. Good. Glad to hear it. It's this idea of that, okay, they're seeing each other this regularly.
They like each other.
They like each other.
Yes.
Maybe there's the shadow expectation of exclusivity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which... You know, maybe I'm old-fashioned, maybe we're just old guys, but I feel like that feels like you got something there, right? It should at least be brought up.
She's saying we're not yet exclusive.
Yes.
Hoping that they will become exclusive, right?
Yes.
Like, that's where her mind is going. But why haven't they talked about it?
Well, because it's only been 2 months, I would say. But,
okay.
Yes, 100%. There, it's coming. Like when you're in that situation as a guy, I don't know as a woman, but like you feel it.
You know
you
that
combo
pressure
coming. Building.
Yeah.
And either you're into it, or you're like, oh fuck, I gotta fight this until it happens, and then I'm gonna break up. Like it's
maybe prolonging. So there could be because it hasn't been discussed yet. It could be the old guy okie doke of I'm gonna get what I can get for as long as I can get without making a commitment.
Yes.
Well,
now here's the thing. So here's the thing about the no pussy eating. now
here's the thing.
Okay, here's the thing about it, is that he's either just flat out selfish.
Mm-hmm.
He could be just a selfish guy.
Mm-hmm.
He could be someone who is just physically uncomfortable with doing the act.
Yeah.
Or a third more abstract idea
mm-hmm.
is that he's waiting for monogamy so he can finally. Go down, which no man has ever done in the history of man, but women have done.
Sure, sure, sure.
All the time.
Sure,
it's like,
sure.
Like head becomes on the menu when you're
when you're not you're not dipping your wick.
Like
all
if you're
the time.
A boring person, that's what you do.
Okay.
If you like hold out on head, it's mm. I think it's an uptight boring person move to like hold out on sexual things until like oh now you
until you have exclusive rights.
Now you're exclusive.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, enjoy sex. What the fuck's wrong with you?
which is our whole tagline. Enjoy sex. What the fuck's wrong with you? So it's this thing of there could be these multiple reasons, right? And I wanted to get into this with you. There's kind of a hip-hop macho mindset that when you come from the place and time that we did, in the 80s and 90s, it was quite regular for rappers to talk about how they weren't going to eat no pussy.
Yes. Well, that's also big in like Jamaican culture. Yes. That was a big thing.
Yes.
But in like Puerto Rican culture, very different.
Really? I just got back. We just went to Puerto Rico.
Nice.
ate a great many things.
Yes.
Mostly mofongo, but I hear you. But I hear you.
No, but like it's very, you know, it's, but also, yeah, like it's, or like on The Sopranos, like where they would, that guy was like, don't tell anyone to eat pussy.
Yeah, yeah. It's there's a macho, you know, I'm thinking of the classic Grand Pooba, she said 69, I said 68, and I owe you one. Yeah, like, okay. Yeah, it was definitely taboo. NWA, I think, was the first time I heard rappers refer, Eazy-E's album. He's like, I'm eating steak while you sucking what the girls enjoy. And like somebody put that together for him. I'm like, what does he mean? Like, what is he sucking?
With the girls. That's very abstract for Eazy-E.
It is. Well, we should say Ice Cube.
Yeah, was Ice Cube thinking?
He was thinking you don't eat pussy because I feel there's been this kind of thread. And I wanted to unpack it a little. Is it the profound selfishness of rappers to say, obviously rappers have been pro-head since the beginning.
Pro-receiving head.
Yeah, pro-receiving head,
like,
yeah.
That's like the thing they want the most.
Yeah, exactly. But then to
money, power, respect, and head.
And head.
It's pretty much
But then at the same time, to kind of have this stance of where it was definitely, I think until maybe the 2000s. It was really uncool. I think Lil Wayne brought pussy eating mainstream.
Beat Nuts.
Okay.
Lick the Pussy. Also Puerto Rican. Beat Nuts in 94, 95 made the song Lick the Pussy.
Okay.
Which was, you know.
Was pro.
It was an entire song graphically talking about going down on women.
Beat Nuts fashion.
Yeah. And it was, but I think it was, yeah, it was just. I want to say it was only Cycle Less, but I think it was all three of them.
Yeah.
Which is a really funny idea of just three bros talking about eating pussy on a
together,
song.
Which we need more forums like that.
Guys. You write your verse about eating pussy? Oh, yeah. Me too.
Let me share.
Great song, though. Great beat. weird to listen to now, but still good song at the time.
Of its time. So you're saying that Beat Nuts were the innovators of bringing pussy eating mainstream.
Two Live Crew must have eaten pussy.
Did Two Live Crew eat pussy?
They must have.
I can't think.
Like Fresh Kid Ice definitely eats pussy.
Yeah, I mean, in his personal life, yeah. But were they rapping about eating pussy?
I mean, they rapped about
every sexual act outside of that.
They didn't, but they also might have been like, nah.
Well, because it comes back to that thing of like the way that men are sexually with partners, with women, and the way we talk to each other.
Oh,
about
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's this huge discrepancy, right?
Yes.
It's very high school to me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're acting like, shut up. Dude.
Yeah.
Come on. You cuddled it out like the rest of us.
Do you know people in real life who are like, I don't eat pussy? Like, you know?
We're going to go to Steph Royce here for her research in the field. When we were in the car coming up, you had talked about having interactions with men who were not about eating the pussy. Say more.
Yes. I've met my fair share of men who wouldn't go down. And there was like, an array of reasons why they wouldn't. Like, one specifically told me, he was like, I'll do it if you, like, trim it a bit. So that was the thing. And it's like, I'm not into looking like a baby. That was that. And then other men who would just be like, I'm not into that. Or, like, I'll make you feel good in another way. And I think, at least for me and my experience and for what I seem or what I know from other women is that like sometimes it's really about, at least when it came to me, it was like about body image and like, you know, like I'm a bigger woman. And so like not all the men wanted to do that with me. And it was one of those things where I was like, oh, I see. But I didn't realize that in the moment.
Oh, interesting.
And then other men were just lazy. They just wanted to come and like
keep it moving,
so it's like
I'm thinking of dudes who like categorically are like, nope, don't do that. Like they're like, that's not on the menu. Like this guy, the guy we're talking about here, who clearly is like, I'm not doing that.
Well, I was yeah, we were talking about this question, and I was like, I wondered, I mean, there could be so many reasons. One, like, I would really like to know their age. One,
because
I feel like a younger guy may be even less into it than like someone with more experience.
Well, now they just skip right to the ass. I figure like kids these days,
it's true.
Like they haven't even learned the fundamentals. You know, I'm saying they're like it's like
it's
a guy who
true.
Has never rapped before that's trying to fucking be Twister.
It's true.
It's not good. It's not good.
I have known. Also, a few people who are just like, oh, on the first date, it was just up the ass, you know, which...
That shit's so crazy to me that became, like, a popular, like, it became this thing that's like, you have to do this. And then, like, sepsis rates shot through the roof.
You have to, we'll do a whole episode on booty eating. I think, I think what happened was we fetishized the ass to a point where it's like if you're not eating it, you're not about ass. And then we're in an ass era. Let's just say that.
Yes. Oh yeah.
But yeah, I think very, very interesting. I had to pause when I heard this idea of like, I'm not gonna eat it unless it's shaved. In which case I go, I don't know, that's stubbly. I don't know that it improves the experience at all.
Well, I could tell a really horrific story.
Please do. That's what this is for.
About the first time I ever went down on a girl. I don't know if I've ever told this on a podcast because it is a fucking horrific story.
exclusive.
So I was 15 and I was dating this riot girl. It was like a punk rock girl.
Mm-hmm.
And we had been going out for a little while. I'd known her for a long time. And it was kind of getting to the point where like, oh, are we going to have sex yet? You know, I was still a virgin at that point. And we went home one day and I was like, this is the day where something happens. So we're in a pitch dark room and I decided to go down on her. Now, mind you, I'm 15. I have no concept of female anatomy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what a clit is, not a thing I've ever heard of in my life.
Of course.
I know what it looks like because I've seen porn, but I don't know.
You don't know.
I just know you put something in there and, you know.
Things happen.
That was my – this is also early 90s. So, like, you know. Yeah, I mean, which is crazy.
Yeah.
That's a whole other discussion. So it's pitch dark. I'm going down. Like I said, she was a riot girl. She was like a punk rock girl. Very hairy. Like, like never once like a wall of hair.
Yeah.
And I'm
– keep the rainforest natural.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just kind of licking at like a matted hair pile. And I'm like kind of
– it's a toupee.
Like it's kind of like if you ever seen like a sloth clean itself or something like that. And so I'm like licking. So I'm licking and the scent is strong.
Sure.
Very strong.
Pungent.
And I'm kind of just licking all over looking for like a hole in the hair kind of like so I can find my way through. Because also like at that age I'm like – you lick the hole.
You go, you're all in,
you're just,
right?
You're just, you're totally, like, you know, that's sorry. So it was nice to meet you, by the way.
Yeah.
So I finished, I just was like, I'm done, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Mind you, I didn't get head that day, which is,
but unsurprisingly.
In her defense, I may have eaten her ass. I don't know. It all smelled the same.
Sure.
It was all the same. It was like the licking the back of a 80s baseball player's head or something like that. Just like a matted
mullet.
And that was my first experience. And it was also like I could not get the scent off my
mouth, beard area.
Hands. Like, mm-hmm. it never went away.
Yeah.
And I don't think I didn't go down.
It's like a year old.
I didn't go down on a girl again until I was 19. And I was just that's not for me. And then the first time I was like, oh, it's not all like that. This was an extreme case. I've seen like natural girls and it's fine. It's but this was like just beyond hairy. Like this was just like crazy.
But it's one of those things where like the thing that sticks out for me is like you just don't know. Right? And even unfortunately for men my age and younger, porn becomes kind of your reference point, and it doesn't really give you too much on what you actually are supposed to do in those situations, right? Especially in the 90s. Like, Spice Channel and some like VHS shit. You weren't getting you weren't getting solid instruction. Did she remark on it? Did you get any feedback?
No, we were both young and stupid. Yeah. And that, yeah. You know,
and she's probably like, I guess you're doing it? I don't know.
And to be fair, I got a horrific blowjob eventually.
Okay.
It's fine.
And, yeah.
And as you do when it's your first time doing things.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're kids. It's kind of like, it's growing pains. But I don't know. It's yeah.
So maybe the I don't want to call him the protagonist in this question, the hotagonist, if you will.
The protagonist
in this
thrown out here.
In this example, perhaps had a bad experience. I have heard dudes. I haven't heard too many dudes.
He's in his 30s,
like,
I believe. This person, which to add some insight.
Okay.
And that makes it crazy to me.
A little bit more.
Because if we could circle back to what you're saying about guys who don't know the female anatomy, if you're over 21, I mean, if you slept with
three people.
Or had sex like 10 times. Let's say. Yeah. Like, yeah. You should at least know the basics of, like, here's a clit.
Yeah.
At least know what a clit is.
Yeah. Be able to identify it.
Like, there's memes about it. Like, guys can't find it. I'm like, who are these guys? But then I talk to girls and I'm like, oh no, they exist. And these girls are like middle aged. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Well, I feel like it's one of those things where nobody tells you, you don't get great instruction from video.
No.
Even Fife has the famous line, which I didn't decode for many years later, where he goes, let me save the little man from inside the boat.
Yeah.
No clue. Fife was like way ahead of his time and trying to align. I'm like, what does that mean? And I feel like because men are ignorant, then ignorance creates fear, right? And so then I think it's like this fear,
shame.
The shame of not knowing, fear.
Shame is big.
The let's call it the ick, like, oh, the smell. And I'm just like, dude, do you think anything smells more than your dick?
Yeah.
Like, do you, let's be real about
that. Your balls, really.
Or your balls. Right. Like, your whole little situation there. Like, it's, you're asking a lot to be freaked out.
I mean, you get older, it's kind of like wine. You get a taste for it. But, like, you know what I mean?
Like a nice Merlot.
Yeah. You're like, oh,
yeah. You have to, it's an acquired taste.
The 1987. Bay Area? Interesting.
You're not wrong, though. Like, I used to have a friend who, when we were young, he did it before I did. Mm-hmm. And the way he described it to me was like, it's a smell that you're going to like, but you wouldn't put it on a sandwich.
That's a good...
I never forgot that. And then when I was doing it, I was like, oh, okay, yeah. I see what it means.
Sex knowledge or advice from other teenagers when you're young is the craziest shit you'll ever
hear. Just why? The blind leading the blind.
Like, I remember someone like explaining how to finger to me, and like looking back, I'm like, Jesus Christ, that was wrong. God.
So our 30-year-old protagonist had yet to go down. I think, Steph, what you were saying in the car is one of the options is just selfish.
Yeah.
Just, I'm here to do the thing that I want to do. That's not a thing that I want to do.
And he's getting his at the same time, I imagine. Like, she's probably going down on him.
Yeah.
To be like, all right.
Yeah.
But even if he's like, or if she's not going down on him, like, even just putting it in feels good to him, right? And I was going to say, like, some men are not interested in finding out where the clit is because, like, they're selfish. They're not interested in the woman's pleasure. They just want to get off. So it's like, what incentive do they have really to like learn female anatomy?
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
You know? Here's the incentive, guys. Let me. Get
they'll come back.
Yeah, exactly. You want repeat? You want repeat business? You gotta.
Yeah.
You got it. And I mean, just from a almost like a common courtesy, if you get me a gift basket for Christmas. I'm like, oh, I gotta get blocked some.
I gotta
make sure. You know what I mean? It's like it's a reciprocal type. Or
I gotta eat his pussy.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought when I got your gift basket. I was like, you know what? You gotta pay.
The amount of men, the number of men who will come, and then that's it. And then you're like, I'm still here. I'm still. I
which
still
want to
get off too. Like, what the hell?
Which to me is it's a young man's mindset.
Yeah, totally.
Because I mean, I remember when you're young and you're just kind of like, you don't know what you're doing, and you're almost just trying to experience this shit so you can figure it out a little bit. And the idea of like a woman's pleasure when you're like in your teens, Most guys. I mean,
abstract
I guys,
concept.
I mean, but that's I know you're right, but that's the, to me that's crazy to be so unwilling to do that. Like I have a friend who would talk about like hooking up with girls, and he'd be like, she didn't even go down on me, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like who fucking cares?
Yeah.
And like, I was like, do you go down on her? He's like, fuck no. And I'm like, all right.
Well then.
There you go.
Well then.
Yeah.
So the female protagonist in our story here is wondering whether it's time to ask about it, to clarify, like, what's going on here? Like, it's a big unspoken, right? And I think with most things with sex, a lot of it can be boiled down to you just have to talk about it.
Yes.
Like, you just have to, like, get it out there. So if there's an advice that I would give in a situation like that, it we would be just to talk about it. But my question to you, Mr. Blockhead, is... let's say upon questioning, our protagonist here is like, no, I don't for whatever reasons. Maybe it's something I don't do. Yeah. I only do it on your birthday.
I won't do it on your birthday. I'll absolutely not do it on your birthday.
Is there any acceptable answer in that situation? Say she brings it up. She's like, hey, this is something I've been wanting to do. I'm wondering why you don't do it. Is there any acceptable answer to why... you wouldn't.
Well, first of all, I think it's to just go back to her even asking him. I think that you're totally right to ask these questions and to talk about sex stuff with your partners. That's kind of part of it is learning each other by talking. Now, in this case, you know, is there an answer for why I don't do it? I mean, if he was just honest and was like, honestly, I think it grosses me out. You can't say that.
You can't say that.
You can't say because then the girl thinks her vagina is gross.
That hurt. Yeah.
But if it's just like I'm not comfortable with it and I'm insecure about it, like that's that's kind of the language for it grosses me out.
Soft way of saying
that. Because it's the same thing. I'm not comfortable with it. Like I'm not comfortable with, you know, blowing a guy.
Yeah.
And it grosses me out. You know what I mean? Like it's
true. No gift basket for you this Christmas.
I think that you'd have to be very tactical with the language you use.
But is there any answer that you could give that?
Or I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the until I feel comfortable enough with you, which is a bullshit answer. That thing is, guys are so full of shit with their answers like that. Like they will just.
But that's some high level bullshit.
Bend space and time, like. And it's a mind game. If you were to do that, that is definitely you're playing mind games, manipulative.
Yeah. You're being manipulative.
And the girl's like, oh, like, when he's comfortable with me, he'll...
God.
I don't
meanwhile, you've done anal five times. Yeah, shut the fuck up.
He's like, I've cream pied you, but I cannot stand for a good time. Like, I don't know.
So there's no... If you're really getting to know someone, you're moving towards exclusivity, there's really no kind of backing out of that one.
I think... As if you are a equal partner with someone, even if you don't like doing that, you kind of at least got to try.
Yeah, you got to make a token effort.
Yeah, I mean, like, don't act like you're licking a 9-volt battery or something like that. Like, don't go in there just like, and then just like a little frog lick, and then be like, you come,
you good, you good.
But you got to make some sort of effort.
You got to make an effort.
I mean, like, listen, as guys, like, I've talked to many female friends of mine about giving head, and like, I have female friends who are like, I hate giving head, like straight up, I hate it. Mm. When I do it, I have to like a guy, I have to really like a guy, and even then, I'm just doing it for him.
Yep.
Which has got to be the guy's mindset who also feels the same way about going down on women. Like, yeah. I hate it, but if I like the girl, I got to do it for her.
Yeah.
But and then you meet girls who are like, I love it.
Sure.
And then you marry them.
And then she is a keeper.
Yeah.
So in an answer, I think the jury here has deliberated, and it's about communication. Mm-hmm. There's really if you're going to go forward in a partnership situation, there's no backing out of eating pussy if you're going to be in a balanced, fair, egalitarian relationship. You got to do for your partner as they would do for you.
Absolutely.
Can we imagine a situation, though? A guy and a girl get together. She doesn't like to suck dick, and he doesn't like to eat pussy. Is it sustainable? Would that work?
Well, here's the thing. It depends on, like, okay, so, like, I don't require head in life. I don't require it. It's cool. I'm always happy to get it. But I'm never like, if I don't get this, we're done.
Yeah.
But I also, as a guy, will always be able to finish through sex.
Yeah.
Whereas girls.
It's a little tougher.
Different. Girls come differently. If you're a clitoral girl and you need that to come, like, it kind of
deal breaker
sucks. Like, I mean, that's like taking away your entire way of finishing. You know what I mean? So, I mean, unless the guy's like, you know, it could finger.
Yeah.
But like, you know. Although, you know, fingering's been making a comeback.
They have.
I talked to a couple girls, like fingering's back.
it's back big time.
Goodbye, ass eating. Fingering's.
Was it not in?
No, well, I think, I always thought it was, but I've noticed more girls talking about it in the last, like, 5 years than I ever noticed before. And them being like, oh, this guy was good at it, as opposed to a guy who's like, kind of cluelessly, like, just slapping around there, you know?
Yeah.
For any guy to be good at it, it's like, as women, you have to be comfortable giving direction, like, because we're all so different. So even if you technically, like, you know, air quotes, like, you know how to do it, it may work for her, but may not work for me. Like, our anatomy is different.
Absolutely.
Even, like, the shape of our vaginas, like, it's different. Mm-hmm. So, like,
and like how you like to be touched and like exactly.
And I feel that also comes with age and comfort and like confidence and all of that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
so you gotta, you have to, I think, learn your partner. And I think that it's reciprocal, because I would say by the same token, I never liked obligatory head. Like
you have to do this?
When I get the feeling like you're doing this only solely because you think that this is something that you have to do or something that I like.
1,000,000,000%.
Yeah, and I'm just like, you know, this isn't like voting. Like, you don't have to come down here if it's not.
I genuinely don't want someone to give me a head who doesn't at uninspired. Least enjoy it on some level.
Yep.
Because you can tell.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's just like.
100%.
And they're like, why? You don't have to do this.
Like, don't do it. Don't do it. There's other ways.
But to circle back to the couple that doesn't give each other head, that is like I think that's like a religious couple.
Oh,
I think that
like
sex is for
Jim and Tammy fame. Yeah,
like I've been watching a lot of these cult docs lately, and I guarantee there's not a lot of head popping off in those households. It's a lot of soaking. Hey, listen,
we will do a full Mormon podcast. I work with a recovering Mormon, and this shit is hilarious.
He be soaking.
Soak God 23.
Isn't soaking just like hanging out inside?
It's parking it there, because God doesn't demerit you if you don't.
Move
it,
but also you can pleasure. I thought it was like tantric.
people stand on like the mattress or whatever they are, and they bounce on the mattress so that like it mimics the thrusting. Ridiculous.
Which is okay by God.
And it also counts. Does it count as a threesome? Or is it like
no? But that's your bro. Just know that
Hey,
that's
bro,
a friend.
I'm about to soak. Could you come just hop on the mattress for a little bit?
I need a trampoline, bro. Can you? okay, no, you're right. A couple that doesn't, which I don't think is a good long-term strategy. I think in terms of being comfortable with someone and experiencing pleasure throughout your body, it's not that you don't have boundaries, but I don't think anything can be kind of like, oh, I don't do that, or guardrails.
Well, I will also say that like, I've always noticed the sign of a sexual relationship starting to wane is when oral sex stops on both sides. Like, once you are kind of like, meh, even if you like doing it, and you're just like, man, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. When you stop caring.
That's usually a bad sign.
You don't bring me flowers anymore.
Things go downhill. It is the male, you don't give me flowers anymore. But I'm saying it works both ways, though. If a guy who does all the time, all of a sudden is just like, yeah, you're good, right? Okay. Like, you know, it's a downward.
It's the death knell. So in summation for our friend here, communicate. I don't think anybody should feel bad about asking for what they want. I mean, there's definitely a way to do it, right? Like, it's not a demand, but say, hey, this is something that I enjoy. I'm wondering, do you have an issue with it? Like, just broaching a conversation.
Yeah. And you're going to sit him down and be like, we need to talk, and he's going to freak out and think he's either going to think it's about exclusivity, or he's going to think it's about something bad, like, I saw your phone, something like that. But if it's like, why don't you ever go down to me? He's going to be like, oh, this is actually a thing I can talk about. And then he'll probably be okay to talk about it.
And, actually, and also just text him and be like, we need to talk.
Yeah. Text me, need to talk. Can we talk on the phone? No, in person.
Yeah, we have to talk in person.
Make it really dramatic.
That'll make it fun.
Yeah.
Because we're here to spice up your bedroom. Blockhead, this has been great, man. I always enjoy talking to you about these things. Good luck on the rest of your miniature tour. And Steph Roars, thank you for the female perspective here on Talk Like Sex.
Much needed.
Yes, much needed.
Oh, wait, can I do a little plug?
Absolutely.
I'm playing in Brooklyn on February 3rd at Elsewhere.
Oh.
If this comes out before then.
Some people will hear it before then.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that's absolutely. February 3rd with whom?
With Shrimp Nose, who is a... do you know Shrimp Nose? Yeah, that's my guy. Shrimp Nose and me.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. Brooklynites and people in the greater New York area, please check that out. Thanks for tapping in. You can always shoot us questions at DadBodRapPod or at BlockheadNYC.
On social media. Yeah. If you want to... You can send, or even you can email me, risky move.
Yeah.
fatfriendblog@gmail.com. phatfriendblog@gmail.com.
Absolutely. Send us your questions, and we will try to address them on future episodes of Talk Like Sex.
See the details.